Hello, and welcome to the Finding Emet radio program. Emet is the Hebrew word for truth. This program will help you understand and live the truth of the Bible from a Hebrew perspective. The Finding Emet radio program features the teaching ministry of Brother Daniel Rendelman of Emet Ministries. Prepare your heart to receive the Emet, the truth of the Scriptures. More audio lessons and teaching articles are available at the www.emetministries.com website. Please visit our site to find all things spiritual, including a free online Bible search program, or submit your prayer request. That's www.emetministries.com or www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Let's welcome our teacher, Daniel Rendelman, as he helps us find the Emet.
We're going to talk for a little while today about some subjects that are very confusing to most people and causes a lot of issues and problems and misunderstandings. Perhaps one of the most confusing subjects in the Scriptures. The name of this teaching is Not Under Law. The name of this teaching is Not Under Law. Now, I think everybody is familiar with the story of the Titanic. Is that right? The Titanic? Everybody knows about what happened to the Titanic. Nice big cruise ship, and it got destroyed. It was supposed to be unsinkable. It was supposed to be unsinkable, but on its maiden voyage, it went down. And this was a devastating event. Hundreds of lives were lost. Remember that? And if you saw the movie, you saw that the captain was not at the helm, was he? He'd kind of retired for the night, and he'd left some other people in charge, and it kind of looks like, well, they just weren't really watching for the icebergs. They weren't watching. They didn't take precaution to save the lives. But what's interesting is that the records show that it wasn't just the fact they hit an iceberg that messed up their journey. It was actually the fact that when they set off to sail, they were off about a tenth of a degree of where they were supposed to be going. Just a little bit, they were off. And that tenth of a degree, the longer and farther they went, you know, at 19 knots and such, 500, 600 miles, the longer they traveled, guess what happened to that tenth of a degree? It became to get larger. You see, the shortest distance between any two points is what? A straight line. And for your listening enjoyment, I've drawn one on the board here. That is a straight line. And now I'm going to draw one that looks straight, almost, but it's off by just a little bit. I didn't use a ruler this time, but I didn't use a straight edge. And that little bit, the farther and longer it goes, is going to go way off of point. That's one reason why the rescue ships had a hard time rescuing those from the Titanic. They couldn't find them. They were not where they were supposed to be. When they sent the SOS, it had drifted. It had gone even farther. They were off track. They were off course. Now, it's not that they sent out to sail and went to China and they were supposed to be going to America. No. It was just a little bit of error. A little bit off track led to their demise. That was one of the factors. If you were to draw one parallel line and draw another one and just put it off a little bit, and one day it's going to go off and they're going to intersect. Is that right? Parallel lines never intersect. Is that right, children? But just a little bit off. And that's what happened to the Titanic. And I submit to you today that our faith can be sunk. Our faith can go down like the Titanic and have a very bad day, a very bad outcome, if we have some issues in some areas that we're off with, some major issues. Don't you think that was major for the Titanic? That was a major deal for the Titanic. Well, it's a major deal is what we're going to talk about today, is this phrase, under the law. And we're going to speak about, for the next little while, being under the law. What does it mean to be under the law? Perhaps one of the most confusing subjects for Bible students is the law. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? I remember when I got saved, and the preacher said, well, go to John. Start reading in John. Start reading in John. So I started reading John, and I started reading, you know, Matthew and Luke and Romans and Acts. And I'm like, well, when do I go to the other part of the Bible? Well, let's not worry about that right now. Just learn about Jesus. Okay, I'm doing that. And then we'd have a story or sermon about Moses coming down from the mountain, or Samson with his hair, bad hair day, remember that? You know, we'd have those things, and what do you do with the law? And so when you begin, or when I begin to honestly search the scriptures, we got to deal with the subject. We got to deal with it. Now, mainstream Christianity teaches a couple different things. So as we talk about the law, specifically, let's call it the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, okay? Let's call it the first five books, which in Hebrew is the Hebrew word Torah. Everybody say Torah. It's what we call the law of Moses. Why? Did Moses write it? Well, Moses got it. It's attributed. Moses was the one that received it. It's called the law of Moses. And so there are different churches that teach, you know, the law should not be observed. And anyone who does it is what? They're placing themselves under legalism. They're being Judaizers. Have you heard this before? No, I'm just preaching to the choir. No, I'm sure you have. I know I have. Why do you want to go under the law? Why do you want to go back under the law? I remember a preacher once told me that one day. He came into where I was working, and we got to talking. And he said, well, I used to be a Mennonite. And I said, you did? I said, that's great. He said, I was a Mennonite, but I came out from under the law. And he said, Daniel, I don't understand you. Why would you want to go back under the law? And I said, well, I've never been under the law. I was never taught about the law, number one. And I said, number two, you're a Mennonite. So did you keep the seventh-day Sabbath? No. Did you keep kosher? No. Did you, wear little tassels? No. Well, what law were you under? The Mennonite law, I guess. You see, that's a good point. Churches have different ideas for what the law is. I used to go to church. You shouldn't drink, shouldn't smoke. You know, used to be in the 1940s and 50s, couldn't listen to rock and roll music. Don't you dare play cards on Sunday. Do you remember that? I mean, it's just been recently here in South Carolina where you can buy alcohol on Sunday. I mean, what were the Pentecostals and Baptists doing for those many years? That was a joke. I'm sorry. I was one, so I can talk about them. I'm sorry. So the point is, what is the law? Now, some churches teach that the moral law is still applicable today. The moral law, like do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery. But the ceremonial law has been done away with. There are some groups that teach that it's all been abolished or fulfilled. Have you heard this before? I was in a conversation recently with a youth minister at a Baptist church, and the five-minute conversation turned out to be about 2 hours, but he kept saying, well, Daniel, it's been fulfilled. I don't have to do that. And I said, well, what does it mean, fulfilled? He said, well, it means it's been fulfilled. It means you don't have to worry about it anymore. I said, oh, now this is important. I said, I got you. I said, just like the time that Yeshua went into the synagogue. Do you remember this story? And it says he stood in the synagogue and he read the scriptures. And he said, the spirit of the sovereign Yah is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news. And then he said, this scripture is fulfilled before your very eyes. Do you remember that? So I said, well, it's fulfilled, so you don't preach at all, do you? You don't tell anybody about the good news, do you? Why would you? That scripture was fulfilled. He looked at me and scratched his head. He changed the subject and wanted to talk about stoning people. Stoning people. The point is that there are different groups that have different thoughts about this. What about the law? Is it totally done away with? What about the Ten Commandments? Do you believe the Ten Commandments are for today? One of the Ten Commandments is, do not take the name of Yahweh in vain. That's why our ministry uses and teaches the name of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Because I believe when we use substitutes, we take his name in vain. If I'm out at work and I say, God bless you to somebody, I know who I'm talking about, but what if they say, God bless me to me? Who are they talking about? Their God. What if they're Wiccan? What if they're Muslim? That's why I can say, Yahweh bless you. Don't want to take his name in vain. What about this verse that says, 6 days shall you labor, do all your work? That's in the Ten Commandments, right? So it's confusing about the law. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Is it outdated? Is it whatever? You got some denominations that teach that you should tithe and follow the Ten Commandments. Does your church teach tithing? Can you find that in the New Testament? No. It's not there. There's no commandment, no even mention of a tithe in the New Testament. It talks about each man can give cheerfully what's laid on his heart. Well, what if that's 1%? What if you're cheap? I remember asking a preacher one time about the Sabbath. Do we have to keep the Sabbath? He said, oh, you should be at church every time the doors are open. Where's that in the Bible? Oh, the Bible's about the Sabbath. Okay. We'll talk about that later. It's confusing. The Ten Commandments were given to Moses, not to Paul. Right? So if the Ten Commandments are for today, why isn't the rest of it for today? Now, here's part of the confusion. Most Christians believe in dispensationalism. Have you heard of that word before? We are in the dispensation of grace. That for a long time there was a dispensation of creation, and then there was the dispensation of the law, and then there's the dispensation of grace. Okay. That theology is only about 100 years old. You can look up in the encyclopedia, find out where it comes from. It's very confusing. Because what we're told is that during the dispensation of grace, there's no need to keep the Old Testament. Because grace covers it all. Grace has done it. Does that make sense? Don't need to keep the Torah. Don't need to keep the law because grace covers it all. Let's look at a couple of verses that deal with that. Let's go first to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. I'll give you a moment to turn there. As we're doing the teaching today, when I use the name Yahweh, that is a sacred name of the Creator, given it the burning bush to Moses. He said, this is my name forever as a memorial to all generations. We'll also be using the name Yeshua. That's the name that the Messiah heard while he walked the face of the earth. He never heard the term Jesus. In fact, no one heard that term until about 400 years ago. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Talking about giving praise to Yeshua. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So where do we have redemption? Through the blood of Yeshua, right? We have forgiveness according to what? The riches of his grace. So here it's very clear that the riches of his grace gives us forgiveness. Does the law give us forgiveness? No. It says here through his blood and the forgiveness of his, through his forgiveness and through grace. So if you don't have any sin, do you need grace? Let me say it differently. If you have a lot of sin, do you need a lot of grace? Yes? Okay. We need a lot of grace. Let's look at Jude, the book of Jude. Give you a moment to find it. It's about 1.5 pages. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And Jude talks about why he was writing. And he says, I'm writing to you in verse 3. It was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all time. Did you hear that? There was a faith that was delivered to the saints. And there it talks about the saints. It actually means the apostles, that was delivered to them once for all time. And it says that we are to contend for it. If you're a contender, what are you doing? You're fighting, aren't you? We've got to contend for the faith. We've got to get in the arena for the faith. Not for what we know is normal, but for the true faith that was delivered to the saints once for all time. So then we should be able to look at our services, our worship services, look at the Bible and say, does it match? Is our faith what we read in the scriptures? Jude said that's why he wrote. Now look at one of the parts of this, verse 4. There were certain men who crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, wicked men, turning the grace of Yahweh into lasciviousness. Oh, that's a big word. Denying our only sovereign master, Yeshua. Do you see that? He said that they were turning the grace of Yahweh into what? What does your translation say? Indecency. Turning the grace of Yahweh into that, and how were they doing that? It says in verse 4, denying the master Yeshua. Denying the master Yeshua. You see, his grace and what he did, we cannot deny it. And if I ever do, don't talk to me again. I'm serious. However, there's a degree of error here. Remember what happened to the Titanic? If we're off a little bit, we have some problems. Grace. I've heard it said that that's G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. I've heard grace means unmerited favor. I've heard that grace means Yahweh doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Forgiveness of sin, payment for sin. It's the opposite of sin. Do you agree? It's the payment for sin, the opposite of sin. Okay. So if you need grace for an area in your life, would you agree that that is an area of sin? If you need grace, unmerited favor, forgiveness, for an area in your life, by definition, that means that that area is sin. Otherwise, why do you need grace? You follow me? So when people say, I don't have to keep the law, grace covers it all, what are they really saying? They're really saying that they're sin breaking. They don't have to worry about sin anymore because of grace. Think about that. You only need grace when you have rebelled. You don't need grace when you are redeemed. Now, this is an area of error because of what 1 John 3:4 says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 defines sin. What is sin? It says, sin is transgression of the law. Some translations say sin is lawlessness. If the law is the Torah, then what would we say sin is? Sin is Torah-lessness, or having less of the Torah. Or saying that when you sin, what have you done? You violated, you've broken the Torah. So my question to you is this. Does sin, let's rephrase, does grace cover the law, or does grace cover our breaking of the law? See, our breaking of the law. Because Paul says, we're going to look at this later, that the law is spiritual. It is holy. It is righteous. It is good. And yet we get confused. That one little bit of error right there, and we think, well, I don't have to keep that law, that Jewish law, an Old Testament law. And you're right. You are exactly right. Natalie, you're right. You don't have to keep it. Melanie, you're right. You don't have to keep it. We are saved by grace through faith. We're not talking about an issue of salvation here, are we? We're not saved by keeping the law. But I do believe we're sanctified by keeping the law. We're set apart by keeping the law. We'll talk about that some more in a moment. The law is not sinful. But the law does reveal our sins. You could start reading in Genesis and go through the first five books of the Bible and you'd find at least 613 commandments. The rabbis of Judaism have went through and counted these. They've categorized them. 613. And the really good rabbis, they'd see you and say, oh, you just broke number 212. Big sins, little sins, big areas, small areas, stuff, crazy stuff. What in the world? Do not light a fire on the Sabbath, it says. Did you drive today? Did you light a fire? Think about that. It says, do not wear a garment with wool and linen in it. It says, don't eat unclean foods. Don't misuse the name of Yahweh. Do not lie. Do not steal. Do not speak negatively of other people. Think about it. Now, the laws themselves are not sinful. And it's not Jewish to keep the commandments. But the Torah, the law of Moses, first five books of the Bible, were given for our relationship with Yeshua and our relationship with other people. Think for an instant about the Ten Commandments. You've got five that deal with our relationship with Yahweh, five that deal with our relationship with man. What five are listed first? I am Yahweh, you shall have no other Elohim before me, right? Keep my Sabbath. If you don't have your relationship with Yahweh right, you're not going to get along with other men, are you? You've got to have those in order. The order is important. Okay? Torah was given for relationship to show us how to live once we are born again. You see, it's on the straight and narrow. Otherwise, as my Baptist friend said, you determine what's sin for you or not. You see, Daniel, what might be sin for you isn't sin for me. And so I scratched my head and I said, so you make it up as you go? I know that the scriptures say to him that is no, that it is not right, and it is sin, to him it is sin. There are certain areas that are personal convictions. Certain areas that, I deal with, you might not deal with. But there's got to be a standard, right? There's got to be a standard. You see, the Torah is a schoolmaster. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, one of the most misunderstood verses, one of the most misunderstood chapters, books in the entire Bible. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, Galatians 4, verse 24. Wherefore, let's go to verse 23. Galatians 4:23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Messiah, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For we are children of Yahweh by faith in Master Yeshua. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Messiah. A schoolmaster is like, I drop off my kids at school, and there's a schoolmaster there opening the doors, helping the kids get out of the car, and taking them to their classroom. That's what the schoolmaster does. The principal stands outside every day. And she's a schoolmaster. She takes them out of the car. She takes them to their class. And when she's done, she's done. You see, the Torah is a schoolmaster. To do what? Its job, one of its jobs, is to take us to Yeshua to show us our sinfulness, to show us that we don't measure up. So we said earlier that the Torah equals law, but the Torah also equals, everybody say mirror. A mirror. The Torah is like a mirror. We look at it. How do we measure up? And look at Galatians chapter 4 again. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Once we're born again, we don't need the law to keep coming to us and say, oh, you better get saved again. You better get saved again. Once we're born again, and I believe truly born again, the Torah has done its part to bring us into salvation. It has helped us become saved. You follow me? It has helped us become saved. Do you understand? Okay? So, in Psalm 19:7 is a powerful verse that shows us what the Torah is good for. Psalm 19:7. It says, Psalm 19:7, wherefore, the law of Yahweh is perfect. What is that? Whose law is it? The law of Yahweh. The Jewish law? The law of Yahweh. The Torah is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. That's the purpose of the Torah. It's to be a schoolmaster, to bring us to conversion. It converts us when we're born again. And then are we done? Are we just perfect when we get saved? Oh, let me tell you. I am. I don't know about you, but I don't have any problems. No. Right, April? No. I get an amen back there for my wife. You see, if it was all about being perfect, then we get raptured as soon as we were born again. Oops, I had a prayer. I'm gone. Wouldn't that be nice, you know? But you know what has to happen? Our soul has to be converted. You see, we're saved, we're born again. Our soul, our eternal soul is converted, but our flesh is still the flesh. When you go down to the altar, you don't lose all that excess baggage and weight and problems, do you? If you go down fat, you're going to get up fat. Now, unless Yahweh worked a miracle, when you go down an alcoholic, you're going to get up an alcoholic. Or a gossip, or a liar, or a thief. So you know what you got to do? You've got to allow the law of Yahweh to convert your soul. How do we do that? We meditate in the Word. We study the Word. We allow Yahweh's Spirit to work in us. Okay? So, once we're born again, the schoolmaster has worked. We're not under condemnation. If any man is in Yeshua, we're not under condemnation, are we? But we can be under conviction. Isn't there a difference? There is a difference between condemnation and conviction. You see, before we're born again, the law condemns us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life. Before we're born again, the law condemns us. It's a schoolmaster. You are a sinner in need of grace. Once you are born again, then you are convicted by the Spirit to say, okay, walk in righteousness. Walk in holiness. Yeshua said that broad is the path that leads to destruction, but straight, narrow, and difficult is the path of the law, of the Torah. So here's another area, a degree of error. The law was never intended for salvation. It was never an agent of salvation. Even in the Old Testament times, people were not saved by what they did. Yahweh's word is eternal. Amen? He said, you're saved by grace through faith. People, during the Old Testament times, were saved by grace through faith. Think about Abraham. It says in the book of Hebrews, Abraham believed the word of Yahweh. And it says in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 7, Abraham believed the word of Yahweh, and it was accounted to him or credited to him as righteousness. Noah found what in the eyes of Yahweh? Grace. It didn't say Noah found strict Torah keeping, Jewish law keeping. No, he found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. And so on and on. I mean, David, think about David for a minute. A man after Yahweh's own heart, and here he is, an adulterer and a murderer and a thief. The Torah, the law, is an agent to show us our sin, to bring us to Yahweh, to show us how to live as we're righteous. It's always been by grace. So the age of grace began when? In the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden. Otherwise, how could Adam and Eve breathe another breath after they sinned if that wasn't grace? Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled, because if the problem is if we believe in dispensations, then we say that God treats people differently in different ages. I have a problem with that, because that means he's not just, he's not fair. That also means that what was required for people back then isn't required today. It's always been by grace. Our keeping of Torah builds our relationship closer to Yeshua. And let me tell you something. The longer you keep Torah, the law, the longer you start studying your Hebrew roots, the more you're going to realize how much you need Yeshua. Because the more of these 613 commandments you begin to study, you're going to say, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Point made. That's the point of the Torah, is to show us we cannot live righteously. Does that mean we stop? Does that mean we sin? We just do anything we want to do? Grace covers a multitude of sin? No. But we don't depend on it. The more Torah we know, the more grace we need. It's a mirror. It points out our sin. Legalism. Keeping the Torah is not legalism. That's another error. People will say, oh, if you keep, you're going there? You're studying the Jewish law? So that's another one of those places where we can get off the track here. Here's what legalism says. Legalism says, if you don't do it this way, then you're not born again, you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. That's what legalism says. That's what legalism says. It says, if you don't do it this way or keep this law, then you're not going to heaven. You know, there's a bunch of groups out there that are legalists. You know, and some of them are very popular and are full on Sunday morning. Some are full on Saturday. But it's not legalism to keep Torah, because it's not a salvation issue. We're born again by the grace of Yeshua, by the blood of Yeshua. Is that right? So then, why keep Torah? Because he says to. Because it's for our relationship. Let's put it this way. When I married my wife, we made a covenant, an agreement, that we were going to be married together. Is that right? No matter what, for richer or for poor. Not Richard, but for richer or for poor. Well, if I don't listen to her, if I don't build our relationship, there's not much of one, is there? Now, I might can say that I'm married, but we may be sleeping in two different rooms. She may be coming, I may be going. She may be doing her own thing, and I'm doing my own thing. But we're still married, aren't we? However, when I start to listen to her, when I start to do things that she asks, when I start to go a little farther than what's required, our relationship gets closer. Is that easy? No. No, it's not. When we disobey the Torah, we miss out on blessings. We miss out on our heritage, on who we are. I tell folks that I don't have to keep the Torah, I get to keep the Torah. I'm privileged to get to keep the Torah. That way I can walk in his blessings. Psalm 19:7, the law of Yahweh is perfect. Why would Yahweh want to keep us from something that's perfect? But let's talk about a couple other verses. Spend the majority of our time here. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans 6. Romans 6:14, it says, for you shall not have to keep that Jewish law, because you were not under law but under grace. Is that what it says? No. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. What about verse 15? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. May it never be so. What about Romans 8:2? Romans 8:2. For the law of the life, the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah has made me free from the law of sin and death. There you go. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from that Jewish law. It says it right there. We'll come back to that. Galatians 2:19. Listen to this verse. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I may live unto Yahweh. That's pretty simple. I'm dead to the law. I ain't going to keep that Jewish law. I don't have to keep the Torah, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, 613 commandments. I can live unto Yahweh. I can live any way I want to live because grace, grace, marvelous grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Right? Some people read those verses and that's what they believe. I submit to you that the very fact that Yeshua had to die proves that the law is not abolished. The penalty had to be made. What I'm going to share with you over the next 20 minutes has the power to change your life. This is awesome. I mean, this is something that when I began to read and study, I was like, wow. Like, spell it backwards, wow. W-O-W, like, wow. Amazing stuff. To revitalize your spiritual life. Finally, understand some things. So a couple things. Number one, in our world, there are a couple different laws. There's natural laws like the law of gravity. Law of gravity been working on you? Look at my tummy. The law of gravity works, let me tell you. It sags, let me tell you. It works. You cannot defy the law of gravity. The law of nature. There's the laws of the government. Don't we have governmental laws that we're under? The laws of the land? We got laws in our workplaces. The laws of the bosses. We got all these laws. And then there's the laws of the Bible. Okay, so my question to you. Is the law of the Bible the same as the law of nature? Is the law of the Bible the same as the law of the United States government? Wouldn't that be nice? There are different laws. And in the Bible, there are different laws. The Scripture speaks of the law of the land, the law of government, the law of Moses, and a separate law called the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is not the law of Moses. If you don't hear anything else that I say today, if you take one thing back home with you, the law of sin and death, or the law of sin, is separate and different than the law of Moses. It's not the Torah. It is not the Torah. Say it with me. It is not the Torah. Just as it's not the law of gravity. The law of gravity is not the law of, you know, pay your taxes. They're separate laws. The law of Yahweh, or the Torah of Moses, was given for instructions for us. It was given for us and within us. But the law of sin, big difference. Everybody say big difference. The law of sin and death is in us and is against us. Now, it's very simple to understand. The law of sin and death. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. It says, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. The soul that sins shall die. That's called the law of sin and death. But if a man be just and do which is lawful and right, It goes on to say he still dies. Physically, look at verse 9. For those that have walked in my statutes, have kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live. So is Moses still alive today? Yes and no, right? What about Paul? Is he still alive today? Yes and no, right? The law of sin and death is simple. It's kind of mentioned like this in the New Testament. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the gift of Yahweh is eternal life. But it's more than just its salvation. Each of us, every one of us, have to deal with the law of sin and death every day. When we choose to sin, when we choose to violate the scriptures, when we choose to rebel, we choose to die in our fellowship with Yahweh. Conversely, when we die to our flesh, guess what? We can live for Yahweh. At first glance, we read in the book of Romans, and we read in the book of Galatians, and it looks like that the law is just this evil, bad thing that's been done away with. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. The Torah points out our sin, but the Torah is not sin. So what is it speaking of in verse 14 of Romans 6? It speaks of the law of sin and death. For the law of sin and death shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under that law, but under grace. Sin and death, the penalty for sin is death. So we have a choice. We must choose to either die to our selfish and fleshly ways, or we can enact the law of sin and death. Just do what we want. That's why there's a lot of defeated Christians out there. They might be born again, but they're ruled by the law of sin and death. They sin, their relationship dies. Their fellowship dies with Yeshua. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua has set me free from the law of sin and death. That is a specific law. It's not the Torah. The law of sin and death states that you can't be married, that a woman can't be married to two husbands at the same time. Look at this. Romans chapter 7. Verse 1. Know you not, brethren, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? What law? We just read we're not under law, but under grace. Verse 2. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so as long as he lives. But if the woman be dead, she is loose from her law. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So, if then while her husband lives, she becomes another man's, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she become another man's wife. Therefore, look at verse 4, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law by the body of Messiah, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, and should bring forth fruit unto Elohim. Now let's clarify this. Verse 1, it says that the law of sin and death has dominion as long as you live. That's why you have to die to yourself. Verses 2 and 3, it talks about a wife, which is for us a function as the bride of Messiah. To function as the bride of Messiah, we have to kill the old man. The old man, the husband, our first husband, that sinful nature. That's the law of sin and death. We have to kill it. See, we got to know what husband we're married to. There are times I'm married to that law of sin and death. I'm just ugly. I'm mean. I'm rude. And then there are times that I'm walking like Yeshua. I put the old man down. He's dead. But you can't do both at the same time, can you? No. Look at verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth the fruit unto death. Notice that the law of sin and death is called the motions of sins. And notice that it's called in the flesh. Do you see that? In the flesh. You see, we've not been delivered from the law of Yahweh, the Torah. We've been delivered from the law and the motion of sin. Look at verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law. What law? The law of sin and death. That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What is the oldness of the letter? If you sin, you die. What then? Verse 7. Is the Torah sin? You see, it's two different laws he's talking about here. Is the Torah sin? May it never be so. I had not known sin but by the Torah. I didn't know that I shouldn't lust unless the Torah said do not lust or covet or sin. You see, the Torah is that schoolmaster. Look at verses 9. We'll come back to 8. Look at verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. You see verse 11? Who deceived Paul? The commandment? No. It says sin took the commandments and deceived me. Isn't that what Satan wants to do? Isn't that what your flesh wants to do? Take the commandments, pervert them, and deceive you. So you're not walking in righteousness. It's not the Torah's fault that we rebel. Verse 13. Sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. What does that mean? Our sin nature becomes worse in view of the Torah. That means we need more grace. For look at verse 14. For we know that the Torah is spiritual. Well, that's confusing. We know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. It's talking about two different laws. There's the law of sin and death, then there's the law of the Torah of Yahweh. Now look at what Paul said. It's really strange. Paul's got another degree that people are off in verse 15. We don't understand it. We go to live our life. We even try to keep Torah. We're good Hebrews. We're good Christians. We're good whatever we want to try to be. But we fail to recognize that the law of sin and death is at work in everyone. It's in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's in you. It's in you. You knew it was in him. You did. Look at what Paul said. Paul said, for that which I do, I don't do. That I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do is what I hate to do. And that's what I do. If then I do that which is what I do not want to do, and I consent that the law, it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but the sin dwells in me. Did you see that? It's not a psychosis. It's not a mental problem. It's not an imbalance. It's the sin that dwells in us. Do you know what he also said? He didn't even blame himself. He said, it's the sin in me. Think about that for a minute. Because you know what the Torah says? The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. That there is the power of the resurrection in our bodies, in our lives, because of Yeshua. But what's also there? The law of sin. It's in our members. It's in our brain. I'm going to show you scientifically in just a minute here but it's actually in your brain cells. It's actually in your RNA and your DNA. Look at verse 21. If I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But then he says something crazy. I delight in the law of Yahweh in the inward man. He says, I want to do Yahweh's word. I want to obey, but I can't. Something's in me pushing me not to do it. And people read this and they think it's the Torah. They think it's the Old Testament pushing him not to do it. He makes it clear, verse 23. But I see another law in my members. Romans 7, verse 22. I delight in the Yahweh after the inward man. That's law number one. But then he says, verse 23, I see another law in my body, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my body. Do you see it? There's the law of Yahweh that he says, I delight in. Then there's the law of sin that's bringing him captive, that he battles. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Now we can understand Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life can set us free from the law of sin and death. Here's how we're going to be set free. Understand that as long as you've been alive, the law of sin and death has been at work. And when you're born again, it's still at work. And sometimes we think that our problem is our husband, our problem is our wife, our problem is our children, our boss, our neighbors, our kids. Sometimes we think our problem's the Torah. Sometimes we think our problem's us. The scriptures say we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in this world's darkness. What power were we just reading about? The power of the law of sin and death. It is the law of sin working in us. Romans 7:15, for that which I do, that what I want to do I don't do, and that which I don't want to do I do. You ever heard of Charles Manson? He didn't just go out and start killing people, did he? He told James Dobson that what started was he was looking at a magazine and he saw a girl in a swimsuit. And that gave him an idea. And then he went to a lingerie shop and he looked around. And then he went and got some pornography. And this took months and months, almost a year. Then he got into hardcore pornography. Then he got into prostitution. Then he got into killing them. And it was natural for him, he said. And he's exactly right. It had become part of him, that law of sin. You see, our minds are influenced, our soul is influenced, until sin becomes part of us. We don't even realize we're sinning sometimes. We get hurt, we're angry, or we're in pain, we're depressed because of experiences in our past. And we've allowed our mind and our thoughts to be ruled by the pain and the anger. That's not Yahweh's will. Now, science proves this. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I've talked with a few nurses and looked at a few things here, that something called protein synthesis takes place. Anybody ever heard of protein synthesis? That protein synthesis takes place mostly in the RNA of the body, somewhat in the DNA, and it actually changes and incorporates the patterns of what we think about into our personality. That our personality changes as we think about something over and over and over and over again. Now, Yahweh wants His Torah to be written where? On our heart and on our mind. Yahweh wants that protein synthesis to take place with His Word. But when we don't think about His Word and meditate on His Word, or when we think that Word's been done away with, what then takes that place? Our sin, the law of sin. There's a battle going on. You see, we've been misled by Hollywood. Boy, Hollywood's funny. They show us that sin comes by, you know, you got the devil over here, and you got the angel over here, you got Satan whispering things in your ear. Most of the time, sin comes to us by thoughts and by feelings. It's not just the voice of a devil. It's the law of sin in our members. Something you like to do. Something that feels good. Something that sounds good. You don't even, you know, I'll say things. Believe it or not, I sin sometimes, y'all. And a lot of times it's with my tongue. I say things I shouldn't say. Probably today. Probably this hour. And it just pops out, and I'm like, oh, I can't believe I said that. And I tell people, the filter between my brain and my tongue is gone. It's not there anymore. You know what I'm saying? The law of sin has just taken over my life. Think about Adam and Eve. They were in the garden, and everything was great. They had a perfect relationship with Yeshua, with Yahweh. And when they sinned, you know what they did? They gave permission to the devil, to HaSatan, to have access to them. They looked, it says, and they saw that the fruit was good to the eye, pleasing. And then what did they do? They knew good and evil. And they went and they hid because they were naked and ashamed. And what did Yahweh say? What did Yahweh say? He said, Adam, Eve, Adam, Chava, where are you? They said, we're hiding in the garden. We heard you. We were afraid. And then Yahweh said something great. He said, oh, no, he didn't say who told you. He said, well, what chemical imbalance do you have? What psychosis do you have? What childhood problems do you have? What bad friends do you have? What bad influences do you have? He said, who told you you were naked, didn't he? You see, they were tempted and then trained to think opposite of Yahweh. Yahweh didn't see them as naked, did he? He saw them as perfect because they were until they sinned. Who told you to be afraid, he said. Who told you to be depressed? Who told you these things? It's the law of sin in our lives. Even blessed Paul had to deal with it. Are you any better than him? I know I'm not. All believers. So we got to kill the flesh. That's how we win. There are these two laws at war in our body, in our minds. And we each hold in a hand, what are we going to choose? Do we repay evil with evil? Or do we love? I'm going to name a few traits, and if any of these just ring a bell to you, then I would say that it might be the law of sin. And let me say this as well. It works with HaSatan and the enemy and our flesh against us. Bitterness, hate, rejection, fear, confusion, envy, unloveliness, jealousy, strife, depression, pain. If any of these have become part of your personality, but I submit to you that you may be serving sin and not Yahweh. Now, we all go through hard times and bad things happen. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's a difference between being in mourning and being in depression, though. Is that right? And here's a hard thing. When the law of sin is at work in us, Yahweh does not just overtake us and cleanse us. It's so powerful that every time we act on it, it becomes part of our personality. It seems so normal to be rude, we don't even realize that we're doing it. I know people like that. I is one. It becomes so normal to snap off at people, to say things you shouldn't say. We do it so long, then it becomes part of our personality. That protein synthesis takes place. So we don't resist it. And that's what the kingdom of darkness does. It makes the abnormal seem normal, doesn't it? So many times when the Bible says you're not under law but under grace, it's referencing the dreadful law of sin. So how are we free? How do we get victory? It says it here. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. His Spirit and life must set us free. Now what, when you hear that word Spirit and life, what did Yeshua say? My words are Spirit and life. Yeshua said that. Now who is Yeshua? It says in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the living Word. He said, let this mind be in you which was in Yeshua. Yeshua constantly meditated on the Word of Yahweh. Read Psalm 1. We need to be delivered. We need to be cleansed. We need to be empowered by study and prayer. We need to understand Romans 10:5. That Moses describes the righteousness which is in the law, and the man that does these things shall live by them. Romans 10:5. That when we obey the Torah in the fullness of the word, not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, that we shall live by that. The book of Hebrews explains that as well. Hebrews 8:10. Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. That's what Yahweh's wanting to do in us. And I'm sorry, but I had somebody tell me recently, well, it's already done. So I said, you've already got the law written on your heart? He said, yes. I said, well, what's Leviticus 21:22? Because if it's written on your heart, you should know it. He says, well, I don't know. I don't know either. I'm asking you. What's Deuteronomy 16:1? If it's written on your heart already, you see, I believe that takes us writing it on our hearts. And then he says, he'll do it as well. It says, submit to Yahweh, resist HaSatan, and he will flee. The law of the Spirit and life in Yeshua has set us free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit, it depends on his Spirit. We got to walk in his Spirit. It is not contrary to the Torah. If what you read in the Torah is contrary to the Spirit, then either you're reading it wrong or you got to study it some more. Yeshua, it's amazing. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of the Messiah. Bear each other's burdens. Have our minds renewed. I want to finish with 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You see, that's the great thing with Yahweh. We're not on that boat that's got to go down. We might be off a degree or two, but through teshuva, through repentance, we can turn around. We can turn this boat around. We can be saved and we can be set free from the things that are pulling us apart. You know, there are times I look at something I've said or I've done and I say, Yahweh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? I can't believe I did that. Because I just was acting in the flesh. And it's right. I'm saying that I'm acting in the law of sin, in the fleshly law of sin. But I've been set free when I walk in the Spirit. I've got to kill it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, in the very Elohim, or very Yahweh of peace, may he purify you completely, and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Master, Yeshua. This is what Yahweh's will is for us, that he purifies us completely, and our whole spirit, not whole, like we're holy. Yahweh doesn't want us just to be holy, H-O-L-Y. He wants us to be holy, holy, W-H-O-L-E. E-Y, holy saved, our spirit, soul, and body sanctified, holy, that the law of sin would not have power over us. In the book of Romans chapter 12, it says, I urge you, brothers, submit yourself to Yahweh as a living sacrifice. What happens to sacrifices? Do you take them home and pet them? Do you love on them for a long, long, long time? What eventually happens to a sacrifice? It's got to die. It's got to die. We've got to kill the law of sin. You see, too many of us are pet peeves. We take them out and we pet them too much. Is that right? We do. And it's the law of sin. So Romans, it says, submit to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Have your mind renewed and have your soul transformed. How do we do that? We got to get in the Word. We got to study it. We got to ask Him to reveal it to us. We got to pray about it. We got to pray it. We got to worship. And every day, every moment, every decision we make, try to ask Yahweh, what does the law of the Spirit need me to do in this moment? What would the Spirit do? What would Yeshua do at this time? Not what do I want to do. Not what does the law of sin want to do. We got to get that personality out. Amen?
Thank you again for listening to the Finding EMET radio program. Please visit our website to learn more about the EMET, the truth of the Scriptures. Search the Bible, submit your prayer request, or read an article on various subjects. The website is www.findemet.com. That's www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Or write to us at EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. That's EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. Thank you again for listening to Finding EMET with Daniel Rendleman. May you find the EMET, and may the truth set you free.